I catch the rains down in Africa. Gonna take time to do the things never have.
Sorry. No, I think that's good. That's the best way to welcome you all to the Eagle Heights podcast.
Are we already recording?
Yes, we are.
You better strike that from the record.
I will put it at the front of the record so all may know that
why didn't you watch the rain
down in Africa. You're jovial.
I've been to Africa multiple times. I don't think it ever rained there.
Well, it has to rain at some point. How else do the lions get water? Well, welcome you to Eagle Heights podcast. We are glad that you are here joining us on this hot August Monday, broadcasting from Eagle Heights in Stillwater, Oklahoma. You will note that this is in reference to the Why the Church Matters episode 4, here available on Eagle Heights or on iTunes or on your iPhone app, whatever the case may be, here with pastor, author, and parent Brahms patron, Brent Prentice. How are you doing today, Brent Prentice?
I'm always well.
What are you drinking from Brahms?
It doesn't matter what happens and how bad the burger may have been at Brahms.
Brahms burgers are good.
I like them too much, unfortunately. Anytime Lacey skips town, I make a beeline for Brahms.
You ever get a mix?
Only when Lacey's with me. When I go to Brahms by myself, it's going to be a number one with cheese, no onions, mustard, and surprise.
Nice.
But I just want to say, no matter what happens at Brahms, I think the way the Christian answers that question is can be a couple ways.
Chick-fil-A is closed.
You asked me if I was well, and I'm trying to answer the question. What are you talking about, Chick-fil-A?
It's the Christian restaurant.
The Christian, the person who's truly in Christ, is always well to some extent. Because even if I kill over, even in the midst of this talk, I'll go to heaven to be with Jesus.
Now, if he slay me, I will hope in him.
Exactly. Let's move on.
Have you ever had...
Scripture says it best.
I want to know what kind of mix you get. I'm a chocolate mix with M&M and Oreo. I'll tell you, that will make your day right there.
You've overdone it.
No.
I'm just a strawberry guy.
Really?
Yeah, strawberry mix.
I see no point in fruit in desserts.
If I go to Brahms, I like a banana split.
Really?
But I only try to do one a month.
So
as to not to weigh 500 pounds.
Yeah, that's a good goal.
Oh, I love the bananas. Oh, very good.
It seems weird. I don't know why, but it seems weird to me. Someone peeling a banana, like someone else peeling a banana for me to eat. I don't know. Something about that bothers me.
Well, it never bothered me until now. And I also just enjoy a delicious chocolate milkshake made from real chocolate ice cream. Mm-hmm. I do not like it when they make a chocolate milkshake and put chocolate syrup in the vanilla to make a chocolate milkshake.
Really?
That seems... It's wrong.
It's like someone else peeling a banana for you?
It's a violation.
Yeah. Now, have you ever gotten the Rocky Road... the Rocky Road shake?
No, Ryan, I have not. I get strawberry and chocolate.
Well, here's what I like about the Rocky Road shake. I know our listeners are outside running in the heat listening to this, thinking, Rocky Road ice cream shake. It's just like a chocolate shake. As you know, Rocky Road ice cream, chocolate with the marshmallows and the almonds.
Mm-hmm. It's too busy.
Just like a chocolate shake, except every once in a while, you get this little puff of marshmallow in your mouth. But the best part is when an almond gets stuck in the straw, and you're sucking on it, and you can't get it, and you're like, and your cheeks are kind of turning inward, and then all of a sudden it just goes, and it explodes in your mouth. The almond hits the roof of your mouth, and it's just like this explosion of flavorful... chocolatey goodness.
It's great.
Good. It's good stuff. Highly encouraging.
Hey, Ryan, I'll be gone next week on Monday and Tuesday.
Really?
Yeah.
You're just telling me this now on the Eagle Heights podcast?
Yes.
Why are you going to be gone?
I'll be at my last BGCO meeting.
Really?
Yeah.
So we're going to have more sermon stories from your...
Exactly. BGCO That's what those meetings are good for. How many weeks in a row have I told a story in a sermon from those meetings?
It's been enjoyable for all. Here's something else I like about the Brahms.
Okay, this is the last thing.
This is the last thing.
I'm sorry, everyone.
The hot pink straw. I love the hot pink straw.
I've never thought of it as hot pink.
If I own a restaurant...
I've only thought of it as pink.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, that's hot pink.
It's a pretty straw.
Yeah. I don't know why you would just go with the clear straw anymore. Love the black straws. Love the Sonic red straws. Love the Brahms hot pink translucent straw.
They know that if they can get the women to come in, they can get the men.
Now, why do you automatically say that since it's pink, It's for women.
You like my new tabs?
It's genderist. Yes, I do.
My tabs on my Bible, my new tab system.
For those of you listening on the podcast, which is pretty much all of you, Brent Prentice is showing us small yellow tabs he has placed at the bottom of his Bible. Now, why did you place them on the bottom and not the top of your Bible?
So it wouldn't be a distraction for people watching me read out of my Bible.
Now, let me ask you this. Can we have, let's have a new segment on this show called The Moment of Honesty. Brent Prentice, did you put the on there so they wouldn't be a distraction, or so people wouldn't think that you have these tabs in your Bible and you don't know?
Well, I don't care if they know if I have tabs or not, because I only do it so I can flip to the passage very quickly and beat everyone there and be first.
So it's not a source of pride?
No.
You sure?
Yes. All right, what are your questions for today, Ryan?
Brent Prentice, these are my questions for you. This past Sunday, you talked about, along with the Why the Church Matters series with episode 4, you started a message and you actually split it in half mid-message. We're going to talk about the second half next week. But you talked about the responsibility of pastors and elders, and this next week we're talking about the responsibility of people in the church, the covenant community, if you will, to the pastor and elder. Now, do you find it difficult? Because as we see, everybody out there has an expectation of what the pastor is supposed to do, what he's supposed to be, and probably everyone's expectation is different or varied to some degree. Do you find it weird, or what was going through your mind as you were preaching in regards to, I'm telling people they have to, you know, submit to their pastors, and their pastors have to be this and this and this, when it's all coming from you, their pastor?
There's a mutual submission, and I think that's the thing that you always have to keep in mind, and is that there's a mutual submission in all of life, even as in, I think, just as in marriage, there's a mutual submission. I think so often people think that because the man is to be the leader of the home, that somehow the woman's role is a secondary, lesser role, and because there are leaders in the church who are up front or speaking or leading because they've been seen to be biblically qualified, that everybody else takes a back seat and it's a secondary role. And that's not true. It's just a matter of role. And so, but the other part of your question is, I think it is difficult to speak, because when Peter's addressing these churches in modern day Turkey, he's speaking as an apostle who, I assume that even though I think Paul primarily evangelized these areas, and it would have been Jesus's churches that Paul started, that would have spread these other churches further into Turkey. Peter is speaking as an apostle who would have been well known since he walked with Jesus as one, an authority to those people.
Mm-hmm. But he's not like their guy sitting there, like, right. Hey, Steve, you got to do what I say.
Yeah.
It'd be like you writing an email to Hope Fellowship in Boston.
Right. But I think he is an apostle, and Paul asserted his apostleship when he had to. And I think they would have known. At that time, there was the biblical office of apostle, those who walked with Jesus and knew Jesus. So I think he's asserting his authority from afar, but that's a lot different than asserting your authority, which is your point, in the midst of people saying, I'm your pastor, this is what I'm going to do, and this is what you're going to do. Mm-hmm. So let's go to Hebrews 13:17. Obey and submit.
Yay!
Both commands, by the way.
Yeah.
The command in, and I didn't say this yesterday, and I'm often fond of saying that these are commands, but in the Greek, the command in the text that we were talking about yesterday is to shepherd, is to lead, is to guide, is to protect. And then the idea of overseeing is to care for and to watch and to oversee that people are living according to the Bible. So it's a bit strange, but the beauty of it, and maybe I should say this next week, Ryan Smith, is that the beauty of it is it's not me that's saying it. Now, I could take this too far, and I could get haughty with it and arrogant and prideful, but it's God inspiring it through His Spirit, through the human author.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I try to say what the text says and not what I would like to say. I think I'm prone to want to try to say some things to people like, would you all please quit doing this, that, or the other? Or would you do this more? And there may be a place for that, but ultimately it's the Spirit speaking to us through the text and teaching us out of the text. So that's kind of where you got to land. Do you think you would have trouble standing up and saying, this is what I'm going to be, and this is what you're supposed to do.
Well, it is.
And don't disobey Jesus.
It is kind of strange because, you know, a lot of pastors would or have, you know, used sermons like this or messages like this as a blank check. You know, as a, you can't tell me what to do. All of you come up there telling me this or that, what have you. And they use it as a power move, so to speak. Mm-hmm. You know, I guess that's where it comes in. You have to be very intentional and seek to understand who your pastor is. And, you know, I trust you giving this message, you know, but if I just went to, you know, random church X down the street and this pastor gets up there and says that, you know, immediately I'm going to be kind of thinking, you know, I agree with everything, you know, here scripturally, but just like, and we've talked about this, you know, anytime we go to the Aspen or something like that, and someone says, oh, what do you do? Oh, well, you know, I'm associate pastor, or you're a pastor here to church. Automatically, if this person does not have an accurate frame of reference for what it means for us to be a pastor at Eagle Heights, automatically when they hear pastor, they're thinking clergy, they're thinking monk, they're thinking
weirdo.
You know, yeah, they're thinking Catholic, you know.
Strange.
Yeah, pedophilia, all
peculiar.
This. Peculiar. Yeah, every single thing that has ever, you know, put a black eye on the name.
Geek. I'm sorry. You're trying to have a serious conversation. But it's true.
Yes, it's true. I mean, like, I think of Tim Tebow. You know,
he's now a monk.
Yes, everyone knows he's a Christian. So what do? They shave a monk head on him.
You think they did that? That's why they did it?
Well, I think it's not strange that they would give him a weird haircut. I would say there is a probability that had something to play into it. So how do you, Brent Prentice, give this message to people who have been coming here to Eagle Heights for years, also those who are just visiting? We know many college students are coming back into Stillwater. This may be their first, second time. What would you say to them, or how do you deliver this message in a way that says, I'm following Christ in a biblical manner, you can trust these words from me?
Well, I don't think you can to someone who hasn't been around.
Yeah.
they would have to see it in the text, and I think that's part of it. That's always the answer, is what God has inspired in the text, what God is speaking to us in the text. But someone, and really, I was going to get to this yesterday in part of the application, that, you know, if I was going to choose a church, it would be on how the pastor handles the text, how he explains text, how he explains what the church does. Really, this is with all relationships, the pastor relationship is a relationship with people, and it's built on standing and time and trust. And I think, and you could disagree because you have your ear to the ground, is that I think most people in our church would say they don't always agree with everything that I say. What they probably don't agree with is some of my illustrations, some of my calling people out, like other pastors, Joel Osteen, and others like that. But they would say, you know what, Brent is faithful to the text, and that's all he can be. And so I just would say that, and the other thing, and I thought you see my three pages of half notes here. Mm-hmm. I don't know how I read any of this, frankly, and usually I don't, and that's why I skip some things that I want to say. But the other thing I would say is what you don't do is, and this is the beauty of preaching through the Bible or sticking to a sermon series and saying, we're going to talk about why the church matters. And as I've learned about the church and picked up, we've just kind of gone with where the Bible has taken us. The reason we ended up here yesterday was because, well, when you look at the New Testament, you can't get away from, an authority in the New Testament is assumed. There's always authority. There is always authority. There's the authority of God. There's in the Trinity, and then there's the authority of Christ, and there's the authority of the Holy Spirit, and then there's the authority of established qualified men who submit to the authority of Christ and the Scripture inspired by the Spirit. So we're always under authority. I don't know what I'm talking about right now, but here's what I want to come back to, is that what the mistake that I could make is if a problem arose in the church and then I came to this text and beat people over the head with it,
right,
just to be right. And what I meant to say yesterday was, I'm not preaching this because there's a problem with this in the church.
Mm-hmm.
I'm preaching it because we're trying to answer the question why the church matters. And the church matters is because it is God's plan to shepherd people with the shepherding authority. And so it's nice that as the text leads us and guides us, we're hitting things that are always going to be applicable. But it's not like something's happened in the church and I'm like, see, this is what I'm going to be to you and this is what you're supposed to do for me. Mm-hmm. I think that would be a mistake. And that's how we, you know, keep from making it a power play or something other than what it should be. Mm-hmm. Did I make any sense in that rambling?
I don't know. I'll edit it.
Good.
I'll make you make sense. No, I think you make a lot of sense there. As you posted on your blog, talking about how we are always under some kind of authority. Mm-hmm. And anytime we enter into a covenant community such as this one here at the church, which we are, you know, commanded and encouraged and exhorted to do throughout Scripture to unite ourselves with a local context of the church, we're always under authority. And, you know, that authority is always human. You know, there are times I'm going to make mistakes in the leadership of the worship of the gathered Eagle Heights people. And, you know, same would be true for Denny or for you or for anyone. We're just people. And that's kind of what you talked about last week. And you have to be willing to be close enough to people to forgive mm-hmm. and to move through. Kind of one more question that I would have for you is, as we mentioned, a lot of new students coming to Stillwater. We know how that goes. I've been through it. You've been through it. When you know, you take the churches you've heard of or your friends have heard of, you go to one each week. How do you process that? And what are some things that, and we don't want to make this an Eagle Heights commercial. Definitely. That's not what we are trying to do. Please understand that. But what we want anyone to do, no matter where you are, if you're trying out churches in Bogota, Colombia, these are things that we would want you to employ. But what things would you encourage people to be on the lookout for, and what would be some red flags that you would caution people against in looking for a church that they can unite with in a biblical way and trust?
Well, if I gave cautions or red flags, I'd probably be, I've got to be careful about that. Mm-hmm. But what I would say is something that I was going to say yesterday.
What about snake handling?
I think that would be a concern.
Okay. So there's a red flag.
Maybe.
There's the only red flag we'll give you.
I don't think you'll... Now, if you go to the Rattlesnake Rodeo out in western Oklahoma...
Do they really have that?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
What do? They ride giant rattlesnakes?
No, I think they just grab them. They go hunt them. I don't know what they do. I've never been out there. I think it's in... not Guymon, but... Marlow or some place really? Out there.
That just sounds like a bad idea.
Yeah.
I mean, have you been watching the Shark Week, or did you watch the Shark Week?
I watch Whale Wars. I'm against sharks. I'm for whales.
Oh, Shark Week was fantastic, but they had, it kind of went out from sharks into various other kinds of fish, but they had when marine animals attack or something mm-hmm. like that, and there's these fish, I think on the Illinois River or somewhere, and they're these mutated carp or something like that, and they jump out of the boat and try to attack people on boats. And they're getting, like, larger.
Mutated carp.
And they're afraid they'll get into Lake Michigan.
Well, it's pollution. Pollution's yeah. Global warming. We're headed toward water world.
There's some science experiment gone awry. Sorry. Back
well, that's,
to...
That's where Godzilla came from.
That's true. Let's all be warned. Where did Mothra come from?
I don't know. So, to answer your question...
Sorry. So, there'd be red flag.
I actually was going to talk about this and may still yet talk about it next week. If I was going to look for something, and I've been thinking about this a lot over the last year, if I was going to tell somebody who was coming into Stillwater or going somewhere other than Stillwater, what should you look for in a local church? I would say, and some people disagree with me. Actually, I spoke with a man yesterday who's a great man, and he disagreed with me on this, and that's fine. But I would say look for a pastor, teacher, and pastors who teach the Word of God, who stick to the Word of God and don't basically topically preach and springboard around the Bible. Look for a guy who's going to stick to the text and wants to be faithful to the text and says what and tries to say what the text says. And do they explain things? Do they explain why they do baptism? Do they explain why they do Lord's Supper? Do they explain why they make the decisions they do according to the text? And the second thing I would say is, do those same people who are teaching, do they live it out? Do they get down with people and rub shoulders with people? Do they listen to people within reason? You know, are they teaching? Are the elders teaching? Do they pray for the people? Do they do they genuinely shepherd and care for people? So I think so much of it is, and you want to look at the people that are not the leaders, but you want to look at the leaders, because the leaders will ultimately drive the direction of the church. And I think that that's the most important thing to look at. Somebody said, well, you know, one guy said to me, well, pastors come and go. Well, that's true enough, but if the pastor is doing his job and influencing the congregation or the people or the church or whatever you want to call him, he's going to have a lot of effect on what those people decide if he should leave. So what I would hope, frankly, is if I left tomorrow, one of the things that I would hope Eagle Heights would do is they would not be satisfied to hire any pastor that did not preach through the Bible expositionally. Mm-hmm. So I just think it's important to find people that are committed to the inspired Word of God, because God's Spirit is going to use God's Word to glorify Jesus, to glorify the Father through Jesus, and that they would see how those people love people and shepherd them and care for them, and do they confront sin? Do they say we're not going to allow sin to go? So all those things, but that's what I would look for. I would think, if I would say, give one caution, do not wait until you're a junior to get planted in a church. I see that over and over and over again. And so for those who are listening, that's your story. I'm glad you finally got connected. I mean, that seems to be the story that we get over and over at Eagle Heights. Well, I jumped around for the first 3 years and mm-hmm. finally found Eagle Heights or another church and decided I liked it. Don't. At some point, there's nothing about the life of Christ that is uncommittal. And I know that it's hard to find churches sometimes. I know it's, you got to look. You don't know what you're looking for. You're trying to connect with people. There's a lot to take in and digest. But don't be uncommittal about the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. Find a place that you can stick and you can be taught, and then you can serve and love others and speak words of encouragement and be face to face. But don't be a church shopper, a window shopper.
Mm-hmm. And also, by the same token, don't go to a church one Sunday and say, well, okay, that's it, I'm going to join that church. Make sure that you feel the church out, have a meeting with the pastor, talk to some people that are there, give it a couple weeks for different types of impression.
Yeah.
Don't wait too long, but also don't jump in too fast.
That's right.
And also, just kind of to jump on one thing that you said, and talking about the fact that, you know, pastors are temporary, whether they're there for, you know, 6 years or 6 months. As you said, pastors do come and go. But I think that would be actually more of an argument for what you are talking about, in that if a pastor is, well, if you have two types of pastors, one that's giving opinion and jumping around the text, and then one that is just going through the text and trying to be faithful to it, the opinions are going to change. The verses they find are going to change. They may be more influenced by the waves of culture, whatever is going on at that time. It seems like you would have more turnover every time their pastor is there. But if a guy's going straight through Romans and explaining and is, you know, really dissecting the text, no matter who it is, the Bible's not changing. Mm-hmm. So I think that would be more of an argument for seeking a pastor that does that, mm-hmm. The fact that pastors can come and go. So we also don't want to give the impression, I think that is a bit of a black eye, you know, as on pastors in general, that you don't have to get to know them, or they're only there until mm-hmm. they can leapfrog to the next.
Yeah.
It's a sad state. And, you know, God does call people different places for different times. But, Don't treat your pastor like, well, I'm going to be here long after you are. And so, because that may not be the case.
Right.
So, well, Brent, we are jumping into the next half of this message next Sunday. Tell some people what they can expect this Sunday. We also have a couple unique things going on this week, which will be good.
It's going to be a unique week. That rhymes.
Yes. What can people expect this coming Sunday at Eagle Heights?
Well, probably going to try to finish up verse 5. I do think verse 5 goes with verses 1 through 4, though some people might say, well, that doesn't have anything to do with verses 1 through 4. I think it has everything to do with verses 1 through 4, and that it is speaking about the mutual submission, that the elder is to be the kind of person that ought to be followed as a shepherd, that he ought to show himself to be a worthy shepherd authority, shepherding authority, but that the people have a responsibility to submit and be humble and follow the shepherd. And then we'll go to Hebrews 13:17, where it's a little more direct, and it says, obey and submit to your leaders, for they will be people who give an account for shepherding your soul. So that's what we'll be looking at. Again, there's always give and take. Yes, it's hard to follow people sometimes, but it's a difficult task. And I think the people, if you see a shepherd or shepherds really trying to shepherd well, that you should make their life as painless as possible by, you know, generally not taking everything hook, line, and sinker, but by following them the best that you can as they follow the scriptures. And so that'll be the gist of it, and we'll try to make some application with that as it relates to things like church membership and who the shepherd is to shepherd. How can he know who he's going to shepherd unless you submit to his shepherding? And you can't be shepherded unless you submit to the shepherd. So those kinds of things will be the kind of things that we follow up on next week.
Well, that sounds good. And as always, we want to, I speak for Brent and for all of our staff here at Eagle Heights. For those of you who are in covenant community with us here at Eagle Heights, we appreciate you. We got a nice email from one of our senior adults here at Eagle Heights, just a note of encouragement about our worship gathering time that today. We really appreciate that. Anytime you can encourage and help us along, we certainly appreciate it. But also, if ever you see us doing something that is outside of theological or biblical bounds, one way that you can love your pastors to confront them about that lovingly. So we would also expect that of you as much as we would when we are in methodological bounds of Scripture, that you support us in that. So make sure and join us this Sunday at 10:30 a.m. for our worship gathering as we continue through our message series, Why the Church Matters. Also, you can check us out on the web at eagleheights.com. Also, facebook.com/EagleHeights, twitter.com/EagleHeights. And for those of you iPhone users, go to the App Store, search Eagle Heights. And for a very small cost, that every penny we get goes to support our partnership with World Vision. Make sure and check that out as well with the new Eagle Heights iPhone app. Thanks for checking in to the Eagle Heights podcast.